Blog Talk Radio. The truth, man. Woo. We're the real Israelites. Please stand up. We definitely. You shalom, shalom, everybody. This is Zion the Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. It's snowing outside, but it's not snowing. It's cold, and the snow is everywhere. But what a wonderful day it is to be alive. What a wonderful day it is to be an Israelite, you know. And even though we're walking around and other people are portraying to be us, we know who we are. You know, somebody blessed me today. I was on my job. You know, and somebody blessed me today. This young man walked up and blessed me. He really did, you know. And you know, he told me, he said, you know what? He said, when you wake up, you can't go back to sleep. I said, you know, you better say that again. I'm going to have to put that on a T-shirt. When you wake up, you can't go back to sleep. He said, man, I've been studying. I said, all praises to the Most High God. Our people is waking up. It's a beautiful thing, I'm telling you. Ooh, when the young people start waking up, you know, it's amazing. But anyway, anywho, shalom, Israel, shalom, shalom. How are you doing today? I wanted to talk to you guys about the other day. Sunday was very, very good. I enjoyed it. But let me put a few disclaimers out there because I don't want anybody to get this thing mixed up. You know, it was a lot of good information that was put out there yesterday, but we don't use stones to heal ourselves. You know, Yah heals us. I want to put that out there. You know, we got to be very careful because a lot of things that people think is harmless, and it's some of that stuff we can't mess with. But all of the natural, holistic things, we're definitely into that 100%, you know, and all the other things about eating right, we definitely support that 100%. You know, we thank the brother for coming on the show and sharing all of this information. We have much love, but we all have to be careful with some of the arenas that we have stepped in before we became Israelites because we can't mix nothing. We got to make sure that we stay on the up and up. The Most High is the one that does the healing, and healing comes when we sin no more. When you stop sinning and you keep his laws, statutes, and his commandments, because sin is the transgression of the law, when we start doing that, healing will come. He will heal us. We start eating right, healing will come. He's right, the body will heal itself. It will do all of those things. So I just wanted to put that out there because I don't want nobody to think that we going down a rabbit trail because I'm always alert. Even though I may not say anything, I'm always listening to the smallest of detail. So I just wanted to put that out there and let you guys know that, you know. But I do plan on getting me some celery and boiling me some celery in some water and doing all them good things. I do plan on doing that, you know, and all that's a blessing. Anybody have anything they want to talk about today? If you do, please push 1. I think Brother Donnie, I might be resting today. I don't know where he is. But, you know I was watching I was listening to YouTube today at my job, and, boy, they are upset about this government shutdown. Everybody is talking. They're talking about impeachment proceedings to get him out of there. It's something. They said the longest that we have ever been shut down. And the people that are around in my arena, they're passing the word around, letting everybody know that at the end of the month, they're going to be a deception aid. They don't have no money for that. And not that they're cutting people off, but there's no budget for it anymore. Because by the government being shut down, they haven't been able to put the budget together. So a lot of stuff they don't have the money to do anymore. And, you know, me and Sister LaVere was talking about this a long time ago. You know, and I didn't even really think about it because she kept saying, you know, when this EZT cars ain't working no more, these people are going to go nuts. And they said that it is over a million and some odd people in New York City alone that's on Section 8, that those people could possibly become homeless. Can you imagine? This is critical. I am telling you, it is something to see all of this stuff happening in 2019. Cannot be a coincidence. I'm telling you, this is some serious stuff that we're dealing with here. Yeah, they did. They said a million and some odd people in New York will be without housing vouchers. My niece is going to college, and she said the schools are not getting money. None of the schools are getting their money from the government. Nothing is happening with that. And she said the lady told her, just keep coming. Right now, everybody going to school for free. But they're not paying the grants and all the stuff that they just not paying it. This has never happened before. And then they said he walked in the office. He walked into the meeting with Nancy Pelosi and some other people, and he said to them, are you all going to give me the money for the wall? And she said no, and he turned around and walked out. Turned around and walked out. Critical. And they said one of the reporters asked him if he was a Russian spy. Where has this ever happened? Where in the world has this ever happened where a reporter asked the president, are you a Russian spy? Unbelievable. But, you know, this is what the Most High said, and I guess this is it. This is really it. I mean, in terms of watching America do what it do. They even said this morning on the radio that a guy, I don't know whether he was from Japan or wherever he was from, but he was able to fly from one point all the way to another. So I would say, like, and I'm just paraphrasing this, from, like, New York all the way to Tokyo with a gun. With a gun on the plane. Crucial. It's crucial. All the way there with a gun. So these are some serious troubling times, and, you know, we got to get ourselves prepared. Now, let me tell you what we're not going to do. Yaina not going to talk to herself today, so if y'all ain't going to talk with me, you know, we can call this a day because, I mean, you know, I need some feedback from somebody to say something because, you know, I don't want to have to spend the whole conversation talking to myself. But I wanted to play this clip for you where the girl asked the president if he was a spy. They're talking about getting rid of the FBI, dissolving the FBI, and pulling Russia coming out of NATO. They said NATO has been around forever, keeping the Russians at bay. And they are talking about trying to come, having America pull out of NATO. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I said, wow, this is just something to see, us going through what we're going through right now. I'm telling you, it's something else. Hold on 1 minute. I'm going to play this for you, and then you guys can give me some feedback. That one.
There we go. All right. Just a moment, and we're going to have this plan for you. I couldn't believe it. I said, when has a reporter in America ever asked a president if they was a spy?
One moment. One moment. This has been a long day, but we're going to get it. I promise you we're going to get there. We're not going to get there. I could not believe it. I'm like, wow. And then they said he didn't answer right away. He went somewhere else and then came back with an answer. And then Trump, that's absurd what you're asking. I'm like, no, it ain't. To be the president of the United States. Okay, I think we're ready now, y'all. Here we go.
We've been doing this so long, it's like, wow. All right, hope you're ready. Here we are.
The New York Times is reporting that in 2017, the FBI opened an investigation into whether President Trump was secretly a Russian agent. Chris Gallagher is following this report for us tonight, Trace. As it came out, the Times is now reporting that in the days President Trump fired James Comey, the days after, as FBI director, law enforcement officials became so concerned about the president's behavior, they began investigating whether he'd been working on behalf of Russia. In other words, whether the president's actions constituted a threat to national security and whether Trump unwittingly had fallen under Moscow's influence. Now, the reasons given, the first was a letter Mr. Trump wanted to send to Mr. Comey about his firing, but never did, in which he mentioned the Russia investigation in the letter, and the second reason being that troubled investigators was an NBC News interview 2 days after Comey's firing, in which Mr. Trump appeared to say he had dismissed Mr. Comey because of the Russian inquiry. The investigation also reportedly looked into the public allegations of whether firing Comey amounted to obstruction of justice. We all know that. The report says FBI agents had grown suspicious of Trump's ties to Russia during that 2016 campaign, but held off opening an investigation because of the sensitivity of the situation. Of course, days later, Special Counsel Robert Mueller took over the inquiry, and now it's apparently part of Mueller's broader assessment. Of course, no evidence has come out publicly that Mr. Trump was secretly in contact or took direction from the Russian government in any way, and there's no word of any sourcing on the story. We should note that Rudy Giuliani has also issued a statement saying, quote, the fact that it goes back a year and a half and nothing came of it, that showed a breach of national security means they found nothing. And Giuliani said that a short time ago regarding the story. We'll get breaking news as it comes in. More on this from the New York Times. Tucker. Chris Gallagher, thanks for that. So if you're keeping track at home, in bed, a pen and paper, because this is worth remembering, this is why you should never criticize the FBI. You think it's a birthright as an American. You can do it. I wouldn't try it, though. They might open an investigation into you without your knowledge into something appalling. Maybe it's beating your wife. Maybe it's stealing fentanyl to kids. Maybe it's betraying your country in some alliance with Vladimir Putin. You don't even have done it. But once they investigate you, they can always leak, I don't know, 2 years later that they were investigating you for this crime that you didn't commit, or at least they found no evidence that you committed. At least you never charged you for it, which our system was supposed to work with. It doesn't matter because you're instantly discredited. Don't criticize the FBI. Very unwise.
All right, you guys. All right. I mean, you know, here we go. This is getting ready to get very, very interesting because they are really, really, really getting ready to do something to this man. These people are tired of the way this government is going, and they have really began to start putting the screws to him, and they're not going to give him the money because the American people say they feel like they're being held hostage. They feel like they're being held hostage for something that they said a manufactured scenario that's not really an issue, and that the government is on its way. Anytime a man can get on a plane after 9/11 with a gun and fly from one end of the world to the other end, and nobody knows he has it, here we go again. I mean, here we go again. This is stuff right here. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. We're going to have to brace ourselves because this is going to get very interesting, especially with all the government, the shutdown. We can't even do things, and I work for a financial institution. It's certain things that we can't do because we need the government to be up and running. And think about all of the babies that these girls is getting these food stamps, and these girls is on this Section 8. Some of the old people is on Section 8. They're going to start messing with Medicare in a minute. In a minute, the budget's going to run out for Social Security. And then what? I mean, I know y'all said this was going to happen and we was going to see the judgment. And he said Jacob was going to be saved out of it. But you know yourself, we got some family members out there that depend on this stuff. They really do. You know, and then not only that, it's going to affect us across the board. It's going to affect you, too. In a minute, it's going to start affecting everybody. Because you're going to have all these people out of work, and if the landlords don't wait on the government to pay them, you're going to have all these people homeless with nowhere to live. What then? I mean, you know what I'm saying? And you're looking like, are you thinking this through? He said he didn't care. He said he don't care whether it take a month, it take a year or years. He's going to wait it out. He said he does not care one way or the other how long it takes. That he's definitely going to wait this thing out. So, you know, I just think it's something, you know, that we are at this point now and watching all this stuff happen. It's amazing that we're here and we're seeing all this stuff going right before our eyes, you know, and how everybody is putting this stuff together. Like, man, it's getting ready to get ugly. This is really getting ready to get ugly, you know, because they said that NATO was where they developed NATO to keep Russia and what did they call it? What did they used to call it? I can't think of it, but it still has to do with Russia, to keep them at bay. They would make sure that they didn't get out of control. And now he's talking about pulling out of that. They said no president has ever come up with anything like that. That's why they're questioning where his loyalty lies, you know, if he's really working for them or not. Crucial. You know, so let me see. I'm going to put it in here. President Trump wants to pull out of NATO. Crucial. They said no president has ever, ever put that together. Hold on. Here we go. It's unnatural, the things that he's doing. This has got to be Yah's work. Because why would he want to do that? It's like he has deliberately come on the scene to tear this stuff down. It's unbelievable. Hold on a minute. I'm going to get this up here for you. Because some people don't know what NATO does, so I want to make sure you understand. Here we go.
Crazy this morning. Trump's performance was unbelievable. Good evening, everyone. That quote is from a senior European diplomat talking to CNN about the NATO summit in Brussels and what the president said there today. Now, this diplomat, we should point out, is not alone. The Western allies have been talking about it. The Russians have been talking about it. The world is, and tonight so will we. It is shocking as it may be to our allies, as troubling as it is to some American lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. It should not be surprising whether voters at the time gave it much credence. What happened today in Brussels is what Donald J. Trump campaigned on. He said he was going to do this. It's the distilled essence of what he has believed, in fact, for years. The problem is the beliefs he campaigned on and tweeted about and stirred up crowds with on the stump, they do not happen to be based in fact. And the concern is he either does not know or does not care to know. Or worse, that he does know better, but chooses instead to disregard the facts to make some larger point. Now, just to be clear, you can believe a 70-year-old military alliance against Soviet and now Russian expansion is a good idea or not. You can agree or disagree with the central premise of it, that an attack on one NATO country is an attack at all. You can take issue with any number of aspects of NATO, and later in the program we'll talk to someone who does just that. However, the president's main grievance, which he expressed today at a summit breakfast, simply is not factual. Many countries are not paying what they should, and frankly, many countries owe us a tremendous amount of money for so many years back. We're in delinquency. As far as I'm concerned, the United States is at the same level. The president's suggestion is that NATO is a dues-paying organization that members chip into some pot for collective defense, that they don't pay their fair share. They haven't been for years, and they owe the U.S. money. Now, keep in mind, as you'll see, that is simply not the case. It's not the way it works. It's not even close. It is, however, the way President Trump believes it works, and he said so for years.
Number one, NATO is obsolete. And number two, the people aren't paying their way. It's obsolete, and we pay too much money. NATO, we're going to have the people that aren't paying, they're going to start paying. It's obsolete. They were getting ripped in NATO. They don't pay their bills. They are delinquent.
So, as you see, he campaigned on the notion. He was elected on it. He tweeted about it throughout the presidency, including on the flight over, saying many countries in NATO, which we are expected to defend, are not only short of their current commitment of 2%, which is low, but are also delinquent for many years in payments that have not been made. Will they reimburse the U.S.?
Now, keep in mind, there is nothing to reimburse beyond a token amount to keep the lights on in Brussels. Each member nation pays nothing for collective defense. Zero, zero. Members have their own defense budgets and have agreed to spend 2% of GDP on defense by the year 2024. Now, as you can see from estimated 2018 numbers, some have already hit the target, some have not. And yes, the United States does spend far more than any other NATO country. And yes, past American presidents, including the most recent one, have criticized NATO members for not spending enough on defense. Past presidents have referred to burden sharing, even used words like contributing. They have not, however, said or suggested that other NATO countries owe the United States money, let alone back payments, which, again, these two countries do not. And other presidents have openly recognized that NATO member nations contribute to the forward bases that allow the U.S. to be a global military superpower. Also, that many sent soldiers who died for us in Afghanistan after 9/11 because the NATO Treaty, Article 5, calls forth just that. In any case, the president believes they're freeloading. And today, he demanded member nations not only meet the 2% goal immediately, he told them to double the target to 4% of GDP, an amount even the U.S. doesn't spend. He also singled out Germany for additional criticism. But Germany, as far as I'm concerned, is captive to Russia because it's getting so much of energy from Russia. We have to talk about the billions and billions of dollars that's being paid to the country that we're supposed to be protecting you around. The president expanded on that in a tweet, explicitly connecting or conflating the idea of defending Europe with getting paid. Quote, what good is NATO, he writes, if Germany is paying Russia billions of dollars for gas and energy? Why are there only 5 out of 29 countries that have met their commitment? The U.S. is paying for Europe's protection, then loses billions on trade, must pay 2% of GDP immediately, not by 2025. Again, this may be shocking to some or even to many. It's not, however, a surprise. The president campaigned on much of this. But now that he's acting on it, even some leading Republicans are speaking up, albeit in fairly gentle ways. Yesterday, 97 Senate Republicans, Democrats, and Independents passed a non-binding resolution in support of NATO, which for 7 decades hasn't been especially controversial. Today, the outgoing chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee weighed in.
I believe that America's leadership around the world has made the world safer for Americans and made the world a better place. And when I see that leadership diminishing and us trying to break apart alliances that we created, it troubles me.
Troubles him. Unclear, though, if it also troubles President Trump. That, however, is unclear. The president's next stop is the U.K. tomorrow morning. British Prime Minister Theresa May tonight saying, and I'm quoting here, there is no stronger alliance than that of our special relationship with the U.S. And just a short time ago, the president tweeted again, summarizing the day. Billions of additional dollars are being spent by NATO countries since my visit last year at my request, but it isn't nearly enough. U.S. spends too much. Europe's borders are bad. Pipeline dollars to Russia are not acceptable. We're now on the president's trip and his day today from CNN's Jim Acosta, who joins us now from Brussels. So this refrain from the president about NATO, it isn't new, as we've talked about. He's been saying it for years. Should anyone, especially NATO members, be surprised?
Well, Anderson, I think they are surprised to some extent, and they've been concerned about this for some time. This has been the fear. The president would come to NATO and bash longstanding U.S. allies right before a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. So that is a surprise that he would come out this hard, this heavy, at this NATO summit right before a meeting with Vladimir Putin. Anderson, the other thing that was a surprise to some of the members of NATO here in Brussels was this call from the president to boost defense spending among the NATO partners to 4% of GDP. They said they have been saying, and you mentioned this just a few moments ago, that they wanted to get to 2% of their each member's GDP by 2024. 4% is obviously a pretty big load for some of these countries. It's been a burden that has been shouldered by the U.S. for some time. But Anderson, beyond that, what is a concern, diplomats in the European community, and I talked to some of them, some of our colleagues have been talking to them, is that the president seems to have a pattern, and that is he goes to summits, he goes to events around the world, and he bashes his allies in Europe and around the world and seems to be cozying up to dictators and undemocratic leaders like Vladimir Putin. That is a big concern.
All right, let me get back. I know everybody be like, well, what does that have to do with us? Everything. It has everything to do with us. Because this, when he starts breaking, what you think what's happening is America is being less vulnerable. And this is the situation. But you know what? One good thing about it is we didn't put him in office. Everybody else wanted him in office, and they thought that he was going to be the great white hope, and he was going to save the day. And you know what he's doing? He's tearing it down, relationship by relationship, brick by brick. He wants to dissolve our relationship with NATO so that they can take back the sanctions off of Russia. And all of this, they're saying this was all the plan in the beginning. And it's so ironic because guess what? Russia is supposed to be the one to take this country down, according to prophecy. Powerful stuff is going on. Woo! This is some serious stuff right here. Hold on, area code 832. Your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air.
I told y'all that lady switched. That's not his wife. That's a what do you call it? A stand-in or something.
A clone?
His wife is, yeah, no, not a clone. You know where they bring your look-alike, somebody that looks like you and all that.
Yeah.
That lady's been gone. She's been gone. She's going back to Russia where she come from, honey.
I know this new lady is kissing all on him and stuff. I'm like, when did all that start happening?
Yeah, see,
you know what I'm saying?
That was the other lady that wanted to have nothing to do with him. She didn't want to hold hands. She wanted nothing. She put a scowl look on her face whenever he, you know, try to get close, touch her hand, and yeah, she didn't want to have nothing to do with him. Mm-hmm. Now this woman, she all up on him.
And what NATO is a North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Because some people are like, well, what is NATO? I don't know what it is. It's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And I'm going to play a clip soon as this gets finished so they can explain it to you exactly what it is. But basically what he's doing is trying to cut ties. He's trying to leave America out there vulnerable where they can do what they want to do with it. And we're in a perfect situation for a takeover. We are. America. A takeover. We right for it right now. Sis, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead and finish.
Oh, no, I'm done. Oh, I'm done.
Okay, hold on. Let me let them know what this is.
Hold on. 1 minute.
I stopped the other because I want you to know what this one is because a lot of people don't understand what this stuff is, and they're like, okay, so how does that apply to us? It means a lot, everything. And everybody's got to understand what this thing is. This is serious.
You know, and why are the world's most powerful leaders suddenly so worried about it? Well, NATO stands for the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, a political and military alliance between North America and Europe was born out of World War II, signed into effect in 1949. Its main aim back then, to push back against any future aggression from the Soviet Union.
The development of the North Atlantic has been reflected in the recent changes in the Soviet alliance.
This became particularly important in 1955 when the Soviet Union and seven other European countries signed the Warsaw Pact. Communism was spreading across Eastern and Central Europe, and this pact promised military support for Soviet satellite states. There were 12 original NATO member countries. Today, there are 28. Seven of those are former Warsaw Pact countries. Each member of NATO has an equal say in discussions and decisions. One of the most important principles of the NATO Treaty is Article 5. It states that an attack on one country is, in theory, an attack against all members. In theory, all troops and equipment in each nation is available for NATO to use. That means there are 3.6 million active personnel and another 3.7 million in reserve. So if it really came down to it, 7.3 million NATO forces could be mobilized. But Article 5 has been invoked only once in its nearly 70-year history, the day after 9/11. It led to NATO action in Afghanistan. Collectively, NATO member states account for most of the gross military spending, just under $1 trillion. In 2006, all 28 member states agreed to spend 2% of their GDP for the alliance's defense spending. But in fact, in reality, that target is rarely met. In 2015, the median spend was just 1.18%. The United States spent a whopping 3.7%. That means that America accounted for some 70% of the alliance's total defense spending.
and it is only one of five countries to spend more than 2%. NATO admits the funding imbalance has been an issue since the start of the alliance, and that it does cause division. During his presidential election campaign, Donald Trump threatened to pull out of the treaty, calling it, quote, obsolete. He also said the U.S. would only help countries that paid their fair share.
Because we're protecting these countries. We have the shield of the United States in these countries.
A major test of Trump's tough stance should come in 2017, when U.S. troops are due to be deployed in Eastern Europe under Washington's European Reassurance Initiative. The U.S. had gradually withdrawn its military presence from Europe since the fall of the Soviet Union. But that all changed in 2014 when Russia seized Crimea and started conducting military operations in eastern Ukraine. The U.S. responded with a $1 billion emergency response. Next year, that budget is set to triple to $3.4 billion. But will President-elect Trump follow through? We'll have to wait and see. Still on CNBC, London.
All right, there you go. That is critical. Now you understand, basically it's a world military. That's basically what it is. It's a world military where the countries, the 28 countries, have come together and agreed that in the event that something happens, especially from Russia, that they would all get together and come against communism from spreading. And now he wants to pull out of it, but guess what? That same world military is what's going to try to come up against y'all. It is. It's the same thing. You know, and we be watching this stuff on the news, and it's like, this is fulfilling prophecy. He wants to pull out of NATO so that the Russian government can do what they need to do. Hold on. And now we leave in Syria. They're withdrawing from Syria. This is critical. Hold on. Let me get this up here, too. Hold on. This is all prophecy.
In Washington. She's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute. She also worked for the State Department under the Obama administration. Nina, I want to sort of start with the Kurds. We've heard a senior leader, Kurdish leader, made this announcement calling it a stab in the back. What's the relationship in between U.S. troops and Kurdish forces on the ground? When the United States, under President Obama, made the decision to get involved militarily in Syria in the fight against the Islamic State, it was looking for partners on the ground with whom to operate. The United States military decided to work with members of the YPG, a faction of Syrian Kurds. And so the U.S. has been working with them in a train and assist capacity on the ground, has also been providing airstrikes for them throughout the campaign. There's so many international players in Syria. There's an ongoing tension between Turkey and the Kurdish fighters. A withdrawal of U.S. troops, how did that impact Turkey? So Turkey has always been unhappy with American cooperation with the YPG, given links between the YPG and the PKK, which is a domestic terrorist organization in Turkey that has long been involved in a battle with the Turkish state and led to the deaths of several thousand people. So Turkey has long lobbied both the Obama administration and the Trump administration to stop the cooperation with the Syrian Kurds. Turkish President Erdogan has in recent weeks indicated that he plans to take military action against the Syrian Kurds in northeastern Syria. One of the concerns has been the presence of these American forces alongside the Syrian Kurds. And so one of the questions now is going to be whether or not Turkey goes forward with that military operation. And there's also, as you said, a sense of betrayal by these Syrian Kurds and questions about whether or not they are going to try and strengthen their partnership with the Assad regime to get regime backing and support that would strengthen them against any possible incursion by the Turks. You know, there's also the argument that the presence of U.S. troops in Syria has deterred Iranian interests there. What does the Iranian influence look like now with the U.S. withdrawal in Syria? So one of the main arguments that has been coming from National Security Advisor Bolton, from Secretary of State Pompeo, has been criticism of the Obama administration for not doing enough to counter Iranian influence in the region, and also articulating that a continued U.S. presence in Syria would be useful to try and push back on this Iranian presence. So certainly once the United States leaves, it is going to leave a vacuum of leadership in Syria, and the question is going to be who fills that vacuum. The Iranians, the Russians, and the Assad regime have all been quite keen for the United States to leave, and so certainly all of them are going to be seeing this as a success. You know, there's concern over Russia's influence. We know Russian President Vladimir Putin for some time has wanted to have some sort of dominance in the Middle East. Is this a win for Putin?
Yes, absolutely. Russia is controlling much of the airspace and territory in northwestern Syria. And if the United States ends up leaving in northeastern Syria, this gives them greater opportunity to engage in that area as well. Certainly the Russians have been backing the Assad regime, and they have not wanted to see the U.S. there. And so this is going to be seen as a political win by all of these parties on the ground.
Dr. Amanda Sloat, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it. All of this is prophetic. All of this is prophetic that's happening right now. This is some serious stuff going on right now. And guess what? It is for our good. It is. It's prophecy being fulfilled. It just looks like it's bad, but it's really for our good, because that's just like the Most High, y'all. It's going to look like the bottom is falling out and everything around us is falling down around us. And he's going to say something like, Jacob shall be saved out of it. And you standing there looking like, okay, the building just fell down over there. When you coming? He said, you got to trust me, because I told you you're going to be saved out of it, and that's what I mean. That's why, and I told it ain't going to be no bed of roses. It ain't going to be no nicety-nicety. He's going to make you get to the point where you trust him. Because, I mean, between the government shutdown and all this other stuff going on, it is a lot of stuff that is on the edge, that is teetering on the edge of prophecy being fulfilled for the last day prophecy. And that is some serious stuff right there. I am serious. When you know prophecy, because a lot of people don't know prophecy. And they'd be like, well, what's she talking about? That don't make no sense. When you know prophecy, you know Damascus has to be destroyed. So in order for Damascus to be destroyed, U.S. troops cannot be there. They cannot be there. Serious business. Wow. It's really some serious stuff. You know? I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, you know, and we have to rejoice. We cannot be fearful. We cannot be scared. We cannot be fearful. I guess y'all say, yeah, right, Yaina, that sounds right. And it sounds good, but even in the midst of it all, we have to know that Yah is going to take care of us no matter what. We got to know it. Just like they was in Goshen and all hell was breaking loose, and Egypt was on fire, and the bugs and the frogs and all that, and the lice and the water turning to blood. It said, didn't a dog wag their tail in Goshen? Nothing happened to the children of Israel. Nothing. He made sure we were straight, and he going to do it again. And I know it don't look like it. You know, it's all kind of stuff going on. You know, even domestically. What was the 50-some-year-old man punched an 11-year-old girl in the face from the other nation? You know, they just getting bold and vicious with it, but we know that this is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, and we are going to see. He said it's going to be a day that has never been. That's the part that gets me, because if you know history, you know that there has been some hellified wars. There has been some inquisitions by the Catholic Church where they flogged people, they murdered people, they sent people alive. He said it's going to be a day that has never been nor ever will be. He said, but Jacob shall be saved out of it. So that means all hell is going to be breaking loose around us. Trust y'all. No matter what you see and no matter what you do, what they do, you're going to have to trust the Most High Yah, because somebody's got to do what he say do. Somebody's got to do it to fulfill the prophecy. Somebody's got to be out there. Oh, I'm talking about on the other side now. I'm not talking about Israel. I'm talking about on the other side to fulfill the prophecy, because he's always used the people of the other nations to get the job done. That's why I love Bible class so much, because when you read about him, you learn about him. And you can dismiss all this old wonderful, warm, fuzzy, wuzzy stuff that they're trying to teach you among the Gentile nations. Because that's not who he is. have given up. He said, I have given up nations for you. And that's what we deal with. And you know, as much as they want him out of there, and much as President Trump is doing what he's been sent to do, and he's killing them. He's killing them because they just can't believe it. And he got something on them because they ain't nobody really speaking against him. Everybody walking around like they're scared of him. He's doing God's bidding. That's what he's doing. He is. With impunity. He don't even care. He's like, I don't care. They said, do you realize what's going to happen if this government stays closed anymore? He said, I don't care. I don't care. And they said, this is a manufactured situation. They said, this is not even a real crisis. He said, this isn't real. It's crucial. The American people feel like they're being held hostage. Something that he wants. But who can stop it? He's tweeting. he's tweeting while the government is, this is the longest government shutdown in history. Hold on a minute. I'm going to let you hear it for yourself because this is some serious business. Hold on one second. I'm going to get it on here for you. But these people, evidently, God's word got to be fulfilled. It's got to be fulfilled. These people is upset. Okay, here we go.
Soon, people are going to have some serious problems. A lot of people know the shutdown is going on, but there's a human impact and the impact on DC Rep.
My fault, child. That was my fault. Hold your horses. Hold your horses. Just one second. My fault. I said something. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
1,000 to over a million, and that's people coming to work. And we know it is. Swells every day. We are particularly impacted because our population swells every day from 700,000 to over a million, and that's people coming to work. And we know it affects government workers in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia and all over the country, and it has a huge impact on our contractor community, people who work indirectly for the federal government. And when a contractor doesn't go to work, they don't get paid, and they won't get a retroactive payment. Trickle down, it affects all of the businesses and services that those people would buy, but for the fact that they don't know when they're going to get paid. We know the impact that it has on metro use and our transit system, on restaurants and bars that aren't getting that lunchtime and after-work traffic. There's just a lot of anxiety in the air about the shutdown. Now, we've never experienced the shutdown in the holiday season, December and January. Most people have spent their, what they spend the most in December. And those bills are going to start coming due in January. So we think that if the shutdown is ended soon, where people are going to have some serious problems at home. Talking about unemployment and how you've seen kind of that applications for unemployment, right? Well, we see from week to week, and we think that when people start missing a check, we'll see more, that then they'll come to our Department of Employment Services to claim unemployment. And how did DC specifically step up on this topic? Well, what has been reported on a lot is the impact on the National Mall, which is the nation's front lawn. We have 17 Smithsonian institutions, all federally funded, around our National Mall. And when the federal government shuts down, all the national parks, including the National Mall, shut down too, and trash doesn't get collected. And so we don't think it serves us well as a city to allow any part of our city, even the federal part, to be run over with trash. So we're picking up the trash with our municipal resources and our clean team. It's costing us about $70,000 a week to do that, but we know it makes sense. And what we intend to do, and our congresswoman will join us, for all of our extraordinary costs, including sanitation and overtime and anything else related to the shutdown, we will seek a reimbursement from the federal government. We released two letters, both addressed to the president and one with both Maryland and Virginia. What is kind of simply your message to President Trump? Well, our message is that using people in federal government services as pawns in a bigger political battle is senseless, and it's hurting real Americans, Democrats and Republicans. This one is long. The rhetoric around it is intense. We now have a divided government, and I'm not sure what the resolution will be. I think it's also, we're concerned about the time of year that it's hitting and how it's going to affect our people. I just think that all of us in leadership, from the president to the Congress, to all of us are called on to do big things for people, and the federal government operating or not shouldn't be a pawn for any other political argument.
I think she is one of the political people in Washington, D.C. These are the things that they're doing. It's affecting everything. And see, by us really not being a part of it, everybody doesn't really understand what it's going to affect in the long run. You know, this is serious business. Hold on. I'm going to let you hear why. Hold on. Here we go.
Of the U.S. government shutdown. And it's significant for two reasons. The shutdown now ties the record for the longest in U.S. history. And more important, for hundreds of thousands of Americans, this is the day of the first missed paycheck for federal workers. And we've been hearing stories of people in the stress and the fear and the unknown for hundreds of thousands of households, including one we're going to take you to now in Clayton, New Jersey. You're going to meet John Siciliano, who's a federal corrections officer across the river in Philadelphia at a federal detention center, and his wife, Vicki, my guest this morning in Clayton. Good to meet you there in the Siciliano home. Thank you for being our guest in Canada this morning.
Good morning.
John, let me begin with you, because I don't need to tell you this would be your payday today, but you're not going to get any money going into that account. What do you normally do with the first paycheck of the month? Where does it go?
Pay the mortgage.
It's spoken for. Pays the mortgage. So it's not there this time. What are you going to do?
Luckily, this month we had a couple friends that threw it in to help us out.
This just happened yesterday.
Yes.
So we've been losing a lot of sleep over it, a lot of time away from our children, because we're just kind of worrying about it. And half the people are trying to figure out, where we're going to shift this money around. I mean, our mortgage is the main bill, but I mean, like everyone else, we have so many other bills, and they have to worry about being able to buy groceries. We got to get to work, because he's going to go to work every day, work his life. And we have to now worry about making sure that we can still do that and be able to provide for our families.
I'm still so uncertain because it's still coming right down the standstill and nothing's getting done. And I don't know about next month.
Exactly, the next month mortgage payments. So there's a lot of, as you said, question mark and uncertainty. How long did you go on as a family, John, with that paycheck from you coming in?
Maybe a couple of weeks.
So, Vicki, I know that you're a preschool teacher, so everything now is going to be relying on your paycheck. But even then, it's obviously very, very tight, as it is, as you say, in so many homes.
Right, he's the main breadwinner, so that's where the majority of our money comes from. And we've worked very hard to be where we are financially. That's my decision of how we got there, not anyone else's. And I just feel like that's what everyone wants. Everyone wants to make their own decisions, and that's what we've done. And right now, like we're pulling his paycheck, it's like they're saying that we're not humans, like we're just pawns in this game and that they can control our decisions.
Can I just judge? I just want to say, I want to come back to the fight at the center of this in a second, but I'm really trying to get in a little bit more your family's personal choices and the impact on your family. You talked about now it's going to be up to you, Vicky, to bring in the money. I talked to a gentleman yesterday, John, who took a second job as an Uber driver or a Lyft driver. Is that an option that you'd look at?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is because I'm essential personnel. I work my 8-hour shift, and then if someone doesn't come in, I have to work another shift, so I'm pretty much on call because I'm a law enforcement, and it's really not an option.
That is really something else, boy. I'm telling you,
history.
He has to go to work because if nobody else shows up,
he got to show up to cover their shift. And some people are just not showing up. They're not going to work for nothing. And thank God they said the Food and Drug Administration, the people from the Food and Drug Administration went back to work so they could inspect the food. But what about the food that was pushed through that wasn't inspected before they decided to come back to work? All of this to prove a point, supposedly. To prove a point. It's like, wow, hold on, area code 513, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Shalom, sis.
Shalom.
Yeah, I know it's a lot to take in. It's something happening every day. and you know, even with the IRS, he's supposed to be recalling 36,000 people to come back to process refunds, but they're not getting paid. You know, so.
That's not going to work.
You got to worry about who's going to take care of your children, how you going to get gas.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
People not willing to work for free. I mean,
they
he's saying that everybody's going to get their refunds, but there's only 10% of the people at the IRS. And nobody, if you know like me and you, we're not going to show up and work for free.
No. No, like they said, some people don't get no check. It depends. You know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know how long it will take, you know, or whatever, but this is critical. But we know it had to happen. It had to start. It had to begin.
Yeah, you got to start. Yes, you got that right. It has to start. And, I mean, we've been saying it for a long time, and it's going to start. And, I mean, it's just to let people know that this is possible. And you know what? The person that they put in office is making this happen.
Like you said,
they picking up the trash on the mall in the park area so that it just don't get out of control. She said, and then we're gonna build a government when this is over to give us our money back. You know?
Yeah, they're gonna wait for it.
Yeah, you know, and like think about the daycare vouchers. How many children get daycare vouchers? Think about the food supplement program that supports the daycare centers that get the daycare vouchers, because they get a food supplement stipend, and that's how the children eat lunch. So they ain't getting none of that. Nobody's getting anything. So they still bring their kids to the daycare center. They still swiping their daycare cards, but the daycare center is not getting any money. So they have to figure out how to keep their lights on and their heat on. This is in the winter time. The winter time. The heat got to be on. All this stuff got to still maintain in order for you to let the kids come and swipe for free until he decides to let this thing go. What you think them girls going to do when they can't cash them EBT cards? Shoot. There's going to be anarchy. But you know what? I'm going to say you like this, and this might sound bad, but I'm going to tell you like this. Sometimes things happen for a reason, and it's for your own good. Because we as a people, and this is black people, white people, all the people, we always felt like no matter what, the government was going to always be there. And this is a clear indication that anything can happen. And I bet you after this, these people going to start saving their money. I bet you after this, these people going to start having some food stocked up. I bet you these people going to start stop spending money frivolously, because if this person can just decide, just because he doesn't get what he wants, to shut the whole thing down regardless of who it hurts, what else is going to happen? This is a warning. This is the calm before the storm.
Yep.
I bet you they're going to have some water stored up and some food stored up and some stuff stored up. And y'all mm-hmm. know what to do. He know what to do to shake them down, because they've been so used to swiping in food stamp cards and getting unnecessary food. It's going to be ration time in a minute if it go any longer, because whatever they get at the beginning, I guess at the end, I don't know whether it's the end of February, the food stamp stop, or the end of March, when the housing voucher stops, something getting ready to stop soon. Whatever it is, they're going to learn how to ration it, and they're going to learn how to be appreciative of what they got and stop wasting.
It's true.
They're going to learn.
It's true.
Sometimes y'all got to do it. Sometimes y'all know what you're doing.
And, I mean, they tried to get people to understand that they needed to start looking for jobs before all this started.
Yeah.
They were trying to get them out, get them off of it so that they could start earning money on their own. So, there's one thing that FEMA and all of them have let us know, to don't rely on them to save.
Joe did.
They tell you that.
Joe did.
Don't rely on them. And FEMA is part of that government shutdown. Now, if anything catastrophic happened here in the United States as far as floods, snowstorms, avalanches, whatever, hurricanes, whatever, it's going to be a problem. That's going to be on top of everything else. So, this is why I said the Most High has a way of making us get to a point to where we're going to start working together. You're going to have to work together.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Hold on. I'm going to let y'all hear what they're saying about these food stamps. Hold on.
But this is serious business right here. And this is the news reporting on this. It's CBS letting the people know about the food stamps. Hold on, here we go.
Down enters week three with no one in sight. We're getting a picture of how the fight in Washington could affect people across the rest of the country. If Congress and the White House can't come to a deal to fund a quarter of the government by February, millions of Americans who receive benefits from the country's food stamp program snap, with cabinet assistance cut off. The IRS has also been forced to send home 90% of its employees ahead of its busiest season. That could delay tax refunds. A recent piece from the Washington Post breaks down the potential consequences of the shutdown. Economic policy reporter Vivian Coletta co-wrote that. Disney joins me now from Washington. Vivian, thanks so much for joining us. Break down for us, what is at stake for families, first of all, if the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, does not get funding before next month? How many Americans could this affect?
Sure. So there's around 38 million Americans, and many of them children and elderly people, who receive monthly benefits under SNAP, a couple hundred dollars a month. And there's been studies that show this money really helps prevent people, from sliding even further into poverty. And so the issue is they only have funded the SNAP program through January. And since the Department of Agriculture is not funded under this current lapse in Congress, there is no more money for this program. Now, they have some reserves that can maybe cover 60% of the monthly balance, but they have to decide who would get that money, whether everyone has to take a couple, even just wouldn't get anything. And they're scrambling right now to sort that out because they do not anticipate the shutdown to go on as long as it has.
So if the shutdown continues, is the government planning to implement any measures to make sure that people are able to get food? I mean, what can be done?
Why would they never face a situation like this before? I mean, there's simply no money for the program. It's not funded by the Department of Agriculture. And so I suppose they can, you know, institute some sort of emergency, but that would require, you know, Congress to become involved and appropriate the money. And right now everything is bogged down over the debate about the wall. So they're scrambling right now to figure this out. They only have a few more weeks before, you know, the impact would hit. And like I mentioned, we're talking 38 million Americans. Obviously, many of them low income and poor, and you know, they've never been in a situation like this where it risks being cut off immediately.
Well, in your article, you say that not only will this disruption hurt families who depend on food stamps, but also grocery stores and other businesses. Can you talk more about that?
Absolutely, yeah. So for most people, this money is, without food stamps, what people think of 50 years ago,
these are
like credit cards they get where money is automatically deposited each month. And many people go and immediately go shopping at the grocery store with the money they get because they need to refill their refrigerators and their pantries. And so businesses, you know, they really get hit. I mean, this is, we're talking $4 or $5 billion in February that would not be spent because that money would not be put on the cards. So there would be a lot of impact both at large grocery stores and smaller grocers around the country in every state.
Yeah, and I just keep going back to that figure that you quoted at the outset, the 38 million Americans. It's really hard to get your head around just how many Americans this will impact. But I also want to ask you about what's going on at the IRS. How will this impact the millions who will be filing their taxes in the coming months?
Right. So last year on January 29th was the first day that Americans could begin filing their taxes. And as we know, people that think they're going to get tax refunds, they tend to file first because they want that money back. Last February, about $140 billion in tax refunds was paid out by the IRS. Now, the IRS has sent home 90% of its staff without pay indefinitely because they're also not funded under this government shutdown. We're expecting to hear from them early this week their plan for the tax filing season. That will include whether they're going to process tax refunds. Last year, they said they would not process any tax refunds during the shutdown, but they're under incredible pressure to reverse that because of the potential backlash. So we might even hear whether they're going to have to move the April 15th filing deadline because they won't have enough personnel. So, a lot of that we'll find out in the coming days. But that's a tremendous amount of money that would be sucked out of the economy next month if Congress or, the IRS or the White House doesn't sort this out quickly.
Right, and on that point, so every year the government pays out billions in tax refunds. What will a delay in returns mean for the greater economy without that money in circulation?
Yeah, it's $140 billion in February. That's a B, okay? And that's a tremendous amount of money. That could single-handedly push the country towards a recession. If that money is not put into the economy, a lot of people get their tax refunds and they'll immediately spend it on something. They pay down a credit card. This money gets pumped back into the economy quickly. And we've never had a situation before where this just doesn't happen.
I want to be very clear. I mean, is that a realistic possibility that, in fact, not having that money in circulation could, in fact, drag down things economically so far that it could push the country into recession?
So the economists that I've talked to said they believe the first quarter of 2019, the first 3 months, will not be as strong as we saw in 2018. And if you add to that this idea that this money would not be put into circulation, this $140 million, then you're pushing it really close to a possible recession scenario. Recession means essentially that the government does not grow and it contracts, the economy contracts over the course of a period. So, as these things begin to snowball, if people don't get their tax refunds, they stop buying things, then companies get hit and they don't reinvest for hiring new workers. All those issues can kind of collide into a big economic mess, and I think we're anticipating that will happen in February unless all these things get resolved quickly.
Wow. Woo! That is crucial. You see? It's one big machine that everything supports everything else. And with one little thing is off, it just trickles down. Can you imagine $140 billion what for food stamps? The money not going into the economy? Jeez. That's a lot. There's a lot going on. That's crucial. But that's where we are now. Crucial. I don't know.
And tax refunds, is that you know they ain't going to be able to get all that money out in time. You know these people ain't going to get their refunds back in time. You know they're not. Crucial. But the Most High said we was going to see the judgment of this nation. And this is over a wall, supposedly. But that's just not the bigger picture. It's bigger than this. This has got to be Yah doing this. Everybody is panicking like, well, wait a minute. Hold on here. We got to do something else. We're going to have to make this work. That means, guess what? It's going to trickle all the way down. It's going to be a terrible situation if they don't do something with the quickness. They're going to have to do something really quick. So I hope everybody can see where this is going. I really do hope you can see where this is going. We got to brace ourselves. He said Jacob was going to be saved out of it. We cannot fear. We cannot be afraid. But we're going to see a whole lot of people suffer. We're going to see a whole lot of people suffer because they just weren't prepared. And we've been on this radio show, I know, at least 5 years. We've been on this show 5 years, telling and warning and asking and pleading and please get some water stored up. Please get some food stored up. Please do whatever you have to do to survive. Please do this. Please do that. We've been doing this for the longest, and we're here now. I mean, if it continues, he said at the end of January, there will be no more money in the budget for food stamps. They got some emergency reserve, but it's nowhere near what they would need to make sure that everybody get what they need to get. I knew something was coming up that was getting ready to be ended at the end of January. And it's what, the 15th? We are here. And you know some of y'all on the phone get stamped. I remember when I used to get them years ago. This thing came in handy. Back when I was getting them, I ain't had no car. That was a long time ago. We had the book, paper out the book. Man, look, that when my kids were small, that came in handy when I was taking care of my children. I needed that. That was a part of my budget until I was able to stand on my own and be able to go to the grocery store with money. You know what I'm saying? It is getting ready to be woo-wee. But they're going to learn because we got to learn. We're going to have to learn that we can't trust anybody but the Most High. We're going to stop watching TV and spending all that money on weed and fingernails and red bottom shoes and all that. You can't eat that stuff. You cannot eat that. Eyelashes and all that glamorous stuff going to go straight out the window when your children are hungry. It's going out the window. You're not going to be able to eat that stuff. You're not going to. You know what? One thing about y'all know what to do to get our attention. He does. He will create a scenario to get Israel's attention. You know, because ain't gonna be no more mess. You're gonna have to work with what you got. And when you gotta go to the grocery store with money, and you gotta take $400 or $500 out of your budget that you with your check to buy groceries, shoot. It's gonna be some potluck dinners and some big old pots of chili and big old pots of spaghetti and all kind of stuff going on. We're gonna go back to the way we used to be. When we paid attention and planned our meals out for the week. He knows what to do. He knows what to do to get Israel's attention. He knows. Because like you said, some people, we've never had this situation before. We've never had this. They have always been able to go down to the welfare building and fill out an application to get a food stamp card. Not no more. Unless they do something. He get this thing popping in the next week or so. Not no more. That's going to be a thing of the past. And if they have to go through that 140-something, he said billion with a B. He said that money don't go into, if that money does not circulate or in the economy, it's going, I told y'all we going to feel it. I told you. We didn't think about that. We didn't think about all the services
and the restaurants that service the people at lunchtime, and the restaurants that service people for dinner, the grocery stores, the meat markets, all the stuff, that's how they get their money. It's a well-oiled machine, and when one is out, one sink is off, everything is going to go off. Like I said, this is the calm before the storm. It's time to get somewhere and sit down and make a plan. You know, whew, boy, he's talking about 140 billion with a B. That can throw us into a recession. I say, oh my goodness gracious, goodbye. Hey, does God know what to do? Because we gonna trust him. He said, Jacob shall be saved out of it, and that's what he meant. And that's what we have to believe in, no matter what it is. So this ain't just, you know, this is really pretty serious. You know, for him to walk into a meeting and say, do I get my money? And they said, Nancy Pelosi looked up and said, no, he turned around and walked out. Man, you ain't going to get no money. They trying to go around him. Stuff is jumping off. So even for us, those who's got a job, save your money. You know, I hate to tell you guys, you better have some money out of the mattress. You better get some refrigerated stuff stored up and some beans and some rice and some stuff stored up, because it's going to affect everybody. I'm in mortgage. Everybody got no houses. They can't. Ain't no jobs. You ain't got nothing to pay for it with. Dude, it's going to be a slowdown, and nothing else is going to be a slowdown. Even when it comes back up, these people are going to have to play catch-up. They're going to have to be printing money off the print press like it's going crazy. Because these people are going to have to get their money and get things back in order and pay people back and give people back their money for helping them. Like the man in the white said, somebody stepped up and helped us at the last minute. Because they're looking at them like, I got to say this for myself. I can't just do it. You can't see people go under. I can't see nobody go hungry. But how many times have I been telling my children, y'all better start storing up. You better put some stuff to the side. You better do this. You better. And they just been looking at me. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, it's coming because the most I said it would. Now, you know, hey, you better figure something out and put all that other stuff there, all the stuff there. One thing about it, when you lose your job and you don't have any money, you learn how to strip away all the unnecessary things, and you deal with the bare basics. And when you look back after this over, you figured you didn't need all that mess anyway. That was just unnecessary stuff. So they're going to have to get there. They're going to have to learn. You know, because people going to get ugly. I'm like, I ain't got enough. I just got enough meat to eat with. I can't feed you and me too. You know, look what it's going to do to the 401k. We're talking about all the money to put up for investment. Just don't touch the stock market. Things are getting ready to be affected. Everything. So, Israel, you know, we're going to do it one more again. We're going to do this one more again. You better start storing up some food, and you better start getting some water, because guess what? The price is going to go up on everything. Everything's going to be more expensive than it was. You better get some water for real and some food stored up, because it's better to need it, have it and not need it, and then need it and not have it. Because January, what, this is the 15th? And in about 16 more days, it's over. It's over with if they don't come up with something else. They count it down by the day. Ain't no food stamp cards loading. Ain't no day care vouchers being sent out. Ain't no student loan money coming out for schools. None of that. It's over. They ain't doing that now. Ain't no welfare money coming nowhere. And then when that starts happening, guess what? The state's going to start suffering, because guess what's going to happen? Everybody's going to go apply for unemployment. Everybody's going to go apply for unemployment. And then guess what? The state's going to suffer. They really are. They're going to suffer. And then you're talking about the prisons. They're going to ration. Everybody's going to have to suffer. You know, real for real talk. You know, we got 5 more days and we'd be at 7 months. 5 more days and we'll be at 7 months. Exactly. And look at all this stuff that's going on. everybody's going to deal with. That means the spirit, oh, shoot, Lord have mercy. But we got to trust Yah. And some things we can do ourselves. We, that don't mean you got to trust Yah, but you got to still have common sense. If you don't need it, don't buy it. If you already got five purses in the closet, don't go get another one. You put that money back so you can help somebody. You might have to help one of your children or your nieces and nephews eat. Get a free deep freezer. Stock up on some stuff. Show these young girls how to do what they need to do. Because they ain't used to that. They've been living large for a long time. This is about to be over with if they don't do something quick. We're going to suffer for a minute. And it might, you know what I'm saying? This might be y'all just letting us know that this is how bad it could get. I might just let you feel how bad this can really get before I turn this thing around. I might have to just let you see just how bad this can get before we turn this thing around. So, if you got a job, you better give him praise every day when you get up. When you say that prayer in the morning at 6 o'clock, you better give him some praise every day that you're able to go to work. For real. Because, we getting ready to walk into faith. And you know what? It's right there on the brink of the 400 years being over. We are 7 months away. And it ain't going to be the same. We're going to bounce through it. If it come back, it's going to be a different government. People are going to look at it different. You know? We just got to keep our head above water. We got to pray. Because Israel going to have to be the one to pray. We're going to have to pray this thing through, especially for our people. We're going to have to teach people how to trust Yah. Because everybody's going to be in church in a minute. You know, anytime there's a crisis, people run to the church. That's the first place they go. And these pastors have been preaching all this prosperity mess. What now? You know, so we gotta bring the reality into this thing. And there'll be no money. All them rappers and stuff starting out ain't going to be no money. Going to dry up. This is some serious business right here. You know, and not that we fear, we don't. We trust Yah because he warned us that this was coming. His word will not come back void. It's not going to come back void. It's not. Hopefully it won't last too much longer. Hopefully we will be able to come to a conclusion. But Trump done already said if he's willing to let it last months, possibly a year. Can you imagine where we'll be a year from now if ain't no food stamps and ain't no voucher program and ain't no child care vouchers and like she said, we're gonna have to go back to living with each other and helping each other out. For those that got little kids. Everybody's going to be trying to find a job and work it, so you better hold on to your job and be good at what you do. Because it's going to be a scarcity, really. And for you all that's on subsidized, you know, pray. The most I'm going to have to help. You know, hopefully, I hope they don't have to let SSI and Social Security go in the toilet. I hope not. We have arrived to a place that we are. He said, this has never happened before. She said, well, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know, because this has never happened before. We've never been in this situation. I don't know. We'll have to see. We've never been faced with this before. This is something we've never had to deal with. So I don't really know. But this is what everybody wanted. He was going to save the day. Make America great again. They ain't feeling like that now. They ain't looking at him like, you better get something done. It's okay. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. All praises to the Most High, Yah. Yah, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for your hope. We thank you for your edge and strategy. We just want to say thank you for all of that. We thank you for choosing us to be your people. We thank you. So we could be sitting on the other end of the spectrum. And we ask you to just lead and guide us in all truth and show us how to do what it needs to be done to survive. We need that. We need your angels to be encamped around us to protect us. And you know we don't have to tell you what to do. You got all by yourself. You do whatever it is you do. But we thank you. We coming to repent. We coming to apologize. We coming to repent and apologize not only for us, our ancestors, our children, our children's children, and all those that didn't make it. We coming to apologize because we owe you that much. And to plead and beg for you to get us out of here. Because you said you had a place prepared for Israel, a place of safety. And people still hung up on cars and education. Look, our old folks, it's like, please. It's like, no. Some people, you got to be real. You got to live in reality. No. Nope. It's too much at stake right now. We got to get to our children. We got to get our children to understand what's going on just to have a plan, a contingency plan. We've been saying this for how long? Have a backup plan. Get some beans and some rice. And some stuff stored up so you can eat. Get a barbecue pit in the event that you have to do that, that you got to cook on something. No, we've been, look, Brother Donnie, I hear, but we've been doing this a long time. And we thank you all for helping us to get this done because it was your monies and stuff that paid to have this service on every month so that we would be able to do this. We appreciate that. We do. Because we want Israel going to survive anyway. So, because the Most High said we would. Thank you all for that. You know, we're coming down to the end of our show. You know, it's 8 o'clock. I usually end it around 8 o'clock. You know, and I appreciate you guys. I hope, you know, that we have gotten a clear picture and understanding as to what's happening, that Yah's word will not come back void. It's going to accomplish what it set out to do, you know, and no matter what happens. That we're not to be fearful. We're going to pray not only for ourselves, our communities, our cities. We're going to pray for our young people. We're going to pray for our leaders. We're going to pray for everybody, you know, that they wake up, that their eyes are open and have some sort of a plan in place. You know, because this could have been pre-orchestrated, pre-planned. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. We don't. But we're going to have to be the ones to stand firm and say, no matter what you see, trust Yah. Because he told you the bottom was going to fall out. He told you this was going to be one of the worst times ever in human history. But no matter what, he said, Jacob shall be saved out of it. And we got to believe that. It's not in our strength. It's not in our power. It's in his. And he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So don't forget, 5 days from now, we're going on a fast from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 4 p.m. That we had another benchmark. This is 7 months. We'll be at our seven-month benchmark. In 5 more days, we'll be there. And it's moving fast. We are moving fast, and we're going to get there. All praises to the Most High Yah. And on that note, I want you all to have a wonderful rest of your week. We will see you on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our weekly Bible class. And the phone number is 319-527-9197. 319-527-9197. 319-527-9197. And the access code is 256039#. 256039#. One more time. 256039#. And this is at 7 o'clock PM Eastern Standard Time. 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock p.m. And on that note, you guys have a wonderful rest of your evening, and shalom, shalom, everybody. Thank you for being here today. Bye.